This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Amen. We've been looking at the issue of fear. It's actually fear and anger. I've been looking at fear, and Pastor's going to be looking at anger in the... We're going to do a sort of detour next week because he's not here next week. So we're going to be doing a teaching on consolidation, on caring for believers, caring for new believers next week. But the week after is going to start off with anger. It's going to be looking at anger and how we can deal with the problem of anger in our lives. How many people know that anger is a big massive problem that many believers, you know, many of us, don't let me say many believers, many of us struggle with. Okay, so it's going to be looking at that. But we're going to try and finish this teaching on fear today, and we're going to spend some time to pray as the Lord permits. Okay, I'm going to do a recap from where we left off last week. Amen. So I'm just going to just go over what we did a little bit. Last week we talked about how to battle fear. How do you battle fear? Battling fear. And I was saying that in order for us to battle fear or to deal with fear on a practical level, the first thing we must do is identify the enemy. Identify where that fear is coming from. Identify what brings about that fear in our lives. And we looked at some examples in the Bible. We said that in Moses' day, you know, the person that created that fear in Moses' heart was Pharaoh. Okay? For Joshua, it was the inhabitants of Jericho and the people of Ai. For David, it was initially Goliath and the Philistines, and then it was Saul. Okay? So the first thing, or the number one essential element in battling fear, is that you identify the enemy that stirs it up in your life. What stirs it up in your own life? You know, what stirs it up in my own life? We need to identify that. Because if you don't identify what stirs it up, how are you going to deal with it? Okay? So that's the first thing that we said last week. And then we went on to go and look at some specific points on how to deal with the stronghold of fear. And when I'm talking about fear here, like I said last week, I'm talking about ungodly fear. I'm not talking about the fear of God, because we had said earlier that there is godly fear and ungodly fear. So we're looking at tackling ungodly fear. And as the number one thing is to acknowledge the existence of ungodly fear in your life. That's number one. Number one thing to do. Acknowledge the existence of ungodly fear in your life. It's just like, you know, when the teachings on addictions were being done, you know, one of the main things was to acknowledge the fact that, you know, a person is either addicted to, you know, alcohol or drugs or whatever. That's the starting point. It's the same thing. You need to acknowledge that, you know, there is fear. There is ungodly fear in your life. That's number one. Number two, you deal with it by praying. That's the first thing. You know, once you've identified it, once you've acknowledged it, then you need to go to God in prayer. That's the next thing. You know, because we cannot battle fear on our own. We cannot destroy the giant of fear in our lives on our own, in our own strength. We need God to help us to do it. So we need to deal with it by praying, going to God in prayer. And I mean real prayer, strong prayer, desperate prayer, you know, because you see, when you have something that is like a wound or a malfunction in your life, then you want to deal with it in a desperate way because you don't want it. You know, you want to get rid of it. So you get desperate. You take measures to deal with it. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, the third thing we said was you need to receive the revelation of the perfect love of God. in your heart. And I looked at 1 John 4 verse 18. 1 John 4 verse 18. Which tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Okay? You can read that scripture yourself later on. 1 John 4 verse 18 is a powerful scripture. It says perfect love. When the perfect love of God dwells inside of your heart, when you know that God loves you completely, wholeheartedly, you know, he loves you without leaving anything out. He doesn't love you in half measures. He loves you totally. Then that the revelation of that in your heart will cause you not to be fearful. Am I making sense? It will cause you not, because you know that God loves you so much, and therefore God's not going to allow anything contrary to his will to happen to you. And that's why a child, you know, a child will see their parent outside, a small child, and they, you know, they don't mind. They could run across the road, you know, because they've seen their father or their mother on the other side without any sense of fear. Because as far as they're concerned, this is their parent who they know loves them, and all they want to do is be with that parent. Okay, so they, you know, when it comes to their relationship with their parents as a very small child, there are no inhibitions, there's no fear, there is no doubt, you know. They don't believe that that parent can, if that parent says, come here, they don't believe that that parent will harm them, so they will go to that parent. And it's the same thing. When we have a revelation that God loves us in our hearts, then we will not fear. You see, a lot of the fear is because many a times, truly, truly, we don't know the depths of the love of God for us. We don't know it. I struggled with it as a person for many years because, as far as many of us are concerned, we equate God with our earthly parents and our earthly fathers. Especially when the Bible talks to us about God being the heavenly father. When you think about that, you think about your earthly father. So for many people, they can't really grasp a God that will love you so much for who you are, when everybody else has rejected you, when everybody else has, you know, mocked you and laughed at you, and, you know, people, all sorts of things have been done to you. You really can't comprehend a God that just accepts you and loves you wholeheartedly. And because of that, because that revelation is not in our heart, sometimes there's so much doubt and mistrust towards God, and that brings about fear in our life. So this is a really important thing. We need to catch that revelation. And I had to ask God to begin to let me know him as the true father, as the father that will never disappoint me, as the father that I know truly. You know, it's one thing to know that the word of God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But to truly believe that God will never leave me nor forsake me is another thing. How many of you agree with me? To read it, to say it, but to know it, to really know it and believe it is another thing. And it's only when you know it and you believe it and it's in your heart and nothing can cause you to doubt it, that's when all fear can be dealt with. You know, so that's really an important thing that we need to do in our quest to deal with the stronghold of fear. I've said here, it's the love of Jesus, the perfect love of our King, received into our heart that kicks out ungodly fear. That's what kicks it out, because there's no reason to fear, because God loves us. And like they say, if God be for you, who can be against you? That, you know, when you say that scripture, that's what it means. When you say, if God be for you, if God be for me, nobody, what you're saying is that God so loves me so much, he protects me, he preserves me, he's with me. So what do I need to fear? What do I need to fear? Okay, so that's number three. The fourth one that we said, how to deal with the stronghold of fear, is to deal with it by controlling what you receive into your mind. Okay, and I was saying, that we need to watch what we read. We need to watch what we watch, as in, you know, view with our eyes. And we need to watch what we take in and accept into our hearts. Okay, because if you don't watch those things, many of the fears that we suffer from, they come as a result of the things that we take in and we receive into our minds. Okay, so we need to be, you know, deal with ungodly fear by controlling what you receive into your mind. And you have control over it, because we have control over where we go, what we sit down to watch, what we sit down to read, what we sit down to listen to. We have control over that. Okay, so that's something that we can do. The fifth one is to deal with it by being in the Word of God. Being in the Word of God. And I said, read the Word of God constantly. Constantly. You want to get rid of fear in your life? You need to read the Word of God constantly. And I'm going to be looking at that in depth tonight by God's grace. Read the Word of God constantly. There is no other way. You know, there is no other way. You can, you know, listen to tapes, and we're going to look at that. That is all good. You can hear somebody else talk, you know, about the Word of God to you. That will only take you so far. But if you don't read it constantly, you will be severely undernourished, and fear will have a field day in your life. That's, you know, the reality of it. So we need to read the Word of God constantly, listen to it, know and hide His promises in your heart. Okay? Build up your faith by being constantly in the Word of God. Because faith kills fear. Okay? And the Word of God is what brings about faith in our lives. And faith destroys fear. You know, when you have faith, then fear has to disappear. That's number five. And the sixth thing we said was that we need to deal with it, deal with the stronghold of fear, by living in the fear of God. You know, living in the fear of God. Okay, it's only as we truly fear the Lord that we will be delivered from slavery to all abnormal and demonic fears. Okay, the other way to really deal with ungodly fear is to live in the fear of God. Fear God. Fear God. We need to fear God. Okay? As we fear God, we will consistently be delivered from all other abnormal and demonic fears. If you fear God, all other fears will disappear. And I read something during the week, during my devotion, and it was so wonderful. And I wrote it down. I said I was going to share it. You know, the way to fear God. And I'm just going to read it as I've put it down here. You can only fear Him to the degree that you love Him. So you want to know how to fear God? Love Him. Love Him more. Ask Him to help you to love Him more. There is always much more room in our lives to love God more. You see, to the degree that we love Him, to that degree we will fear Him. The extent of your love is the extent of your fear of God. So when you don't fear God, when you live your life the way that you like, if you decide you are the Lord and Master of your life and you will do what you want to do, you're showing also that you love God less. You're showing that the extent of your love for God is really at a low level. Okay? So it's to the degree that we love Him that we will fear Him. Okay? So if we are not fearing Him, it's because we don't really love Him. We might sing that we love Him. We might say it, but we don't really love Him. So we need to ask God to help us to love Him more. To love Him more. And you see, when you love someone, you just want to do everything for them. You know, those people who, you know, have been, you know, who have courted in the past, who have, you know, dated or whatever you want to call it in the past. You know what I mean? When you first meet this person, you think, oh yes, I'm in love. All you want to do is just to be with this person. You know, you go to sleep, you're thinking about them. You wake up, you're thinking about them. You're walking, you're thinking about them. You're eating, you're thinking about them. They're always in your mind. You know, they're constantly there. You know, and that's because of the love that you feel for them. And it's the same thing. That's the same way it should be in our relationship with God. Okay? The love of God is the foundation for true fear of God. You cannot fear God if you do not love Him. You cannot. It's not possible. So, you know, you might be thinking, how do I fear Him? Just love Him more. Love Him more. Say, Lord, help me to. I know I love You to a certain degree, but Lord, my goal in life is to love You more. I want to keep loving You. I want my love for You to keep increasing.
Every day that I will love you more. Every day that I will draw closer. Every day that you will be the reason why I live. You know, we sing that song, "You are the reason that I live." Every day. And as that happens, we will fear him. You know, we will fear him, and we will obey Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 says, it says, this is the sum total of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. What is this scripture saying to us? It says, this is the reason why we exist. This is the reason why we were created. This is man's all duty, to do these two things, to fear God and to keep his commandments. To fear God. But you can't fear him if you don't love him. You have to love him first before you can fear him and keep his commandments. Hallelujah. So, you know, God is saying to us, we want to deal with the stronghold of fear. This is how we go about it. And I really encourage us to take this point one by one, meditate upon them, and seek to implement them. Because, or else, if we don't do that, then we will still stay in the same place. Hallelujah. I'm going to quickly read a story of a pastor here who struggled with the issue of fear, ungodly fear. Just to show you that nobody is exempt. Nobody is exempt, but thank God that there is a way out, and we're going to look at the final way out, which is faith. The fear killer, like I said earlier. We're going to look at that. But I'm just going to read this story. Please bear with me because it is a little bit long. Okay? Please bear with me. This pastor's name. Let me see if I've got a name here. No, I haven't. Okay. It's a pastor, I believe, in America. I formally became the pastor of All Nations Christian Center in July 2001. This is his own experience. In the evening service of the first Sunday, I felt a very strong intimidation and was fearful of what the people thought about me. My words seemed dry and forced rather than anointed and easy flowing. I was aware that some people had not wanted me to become their pastor. I was watching every expression and movement of the people in front of me. I wish I could be anywhere but standing behind the pulpit. I finished my sermon and took my place on the front row while the worship team sang the closing song. I couldn't wait to get out of the building. Then God spoke to me from a verse in the Bible. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Proverbs 29:25. The Lord showed me that the entire time I had been preaching, I was fearful of people and their thoughts towards me. That fear had limited and immobilized the gift of God in me to preach. Fear always limits a person from their true potential, and it immobilizes the gift of God in a believer. As I realized what I had done, I stopped the worship team, stood before the church, and shared the scripture with them. I then made a public declaration that I will not bow to fear of man, but live with the holy fear of God. To my amazement, the church responded with clapping and shouts of amen. I thought that was it, and that the fear of man had been broken in my life. Then May 2005, the Lord woke me up one night and showed me how my life was full of fear and how I was controlled by fear. I began writing down everything I felt fearful about. This will surprise you. I ended up with a long list. It included my wife, my elders, my church congregation, and on it went. The Lord showed me how in the previous year, through some negative encounters and tough problems I went through, I had allowed these thoughts to start coming back into my life. I had allowed these thoughts to remain, and these thoughts had become strongholds in my life and were determining the choices I made. Even though on the outside everything looked very good, I was preaching around the world, the church was growing, we had taken on new staff, but on the inside of me there was a huge battle going on.
Walking out into the congregation was a major ordeal because I was so concerned about people and what they might say to me. Preaching on a Sunday was a huge ordeal for me. I felt like I was being shut down on the inside. I wanted to run from people. I had begun to dread any sort of confrontation. I'd rather be on my own in non-threatening situations. Affecting my relationship with my wife. In fact, it was taking over my life. It was the grace of God that showed me that fear had a stronghold in my life. I decided to deal with it immediately. These are the steps I took, and you may need to take as well. Number one, repent. That's the story, but these are the steps that it took. Repent before the Lord for allowing fearful thoughts residence in your mind. Number two, renounce the spirit of fear and break its power over you in Jesus' name. Number three, make a choice daily not to allow fearful thoughts residence in your mind. Instead, begin filling your mind with the word of God. Amen. I'll leave it there. But I just wanted to share that with us, just to show us that no one is immune to this giant of ungodly fear. This was a pastor who was preaching the word of God, who was looking after people, and this was a major thing in his life. But thank God that tonight, that giant is going to come down in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said, I just want to share this final way that I believe God wants us to deal with fear. And it's faith. Faith in God. I believe that faith is the fear killer, is the thing that will kill fear in our lives completely. Okay. Faith in God is the answer to fear. And this is because fear is a symptom of unbelief. Fear is a symptom, is a byproduct of unbelief. Okay? For many people, when fear is in their life, it's because there is unbelief in their life as well. So to counter fear, we must be people of faith who walk by faith. So what we need to replace that fear with is faith. And faith in who? Faith in God Almighty who created us. And God took me to a really beautiful scripture that we all know. Ephesians 6 verse 16. Ephesians 6 16. It tells us, above all, you know, it had given us all the weapons of our warfare. And then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. You know, it was as if, you know, the Apostle Paul was saying, yes, okay, use this. But above all those things, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He was saying faith is the thing that will quench, that will destroy. And that's why I'm saying faith is the killer of fear. Faith is that thing that will completely kill and destroy fear in our lives. And this scripture again is saying, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. The fiery darts are the arrows that are thrown at us, that are used to eat us, to cause us to stay down, to cause us to stay miserable, to cause us to stay unhappy, to cause us to stay without joy, to cause us to stay so fearful and timid. Those are the fiery darts, okay, that are thrown at us by the wicked one. And one of the major fiery darts of the wicked one is fear. That's one. If we are going to list those fiery darts he throws, one of them is fear, without a shadow of doubt. And when the enemy launches it at us like a missile and it hits us, the only thing that can keep us standing is faith in God. When the enemy throws it like that, and when he throws it at a time, most of the time, we're not expecting. When he throws it, it's only faith in God. Strong faith. Strong faith that can keep us standing. Faith in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is trust in God in all circumstances. I saw that somewhere and thought, that's it. Faith is trust in God in all circumstances. And I thought, yes. I know in Hebrews, it gives us the definition of faith, but I like this definition.
is trust in God in all circumstances, whether good, whether bad, whether in between. Is you still trusting God? But the slight problem is that this faith does just not come. The slight problem is that this faith does not just become part of us without something happening first. I wish faith is something that I could just, you know, lay my hands and everybody receives it immediately and we leave this place and we just begin to walk in faith. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that with many of the things, you know, that come from God, you know. But we can have it. So what is that thing that has to happen first before we have that faith? And we see it in Romans 10 verse 17. Romans 10 verse 17. The Bible describes it this way in Romans 10, 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing. Are you hearing me this evening? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing. I'm not what you would call a Bible scholar, but I don't know of any other scripture in the Bible that tells us this is the way faith comes, other than this scripture. Other than this one scripture. It says this is how faith comes. So if the Bible is saying this is how, and we haven't found any other scripture saying this is how we get faith, then we really need to pay attention to this particular scripture in Romans 10, 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So for us to become people of faith rather than people of fear, we must hear and keep on hearing the word of God. We must hear God's word and keep on hearing it. We have to keep on hearing it constantly, consistently, all the time, 24/7. We have to keep hearing it because that's the only way we're going to stay in faith. You know, so much is happening. This week alone, you know, so much negative news that we've heard, even this week alone. Was it last week? Last week alone, you know. All you need to do is go on the internet or just listen to the news. All sorts of things. Okay. But we need to keep hearing so that we can, you know. And sometimes when those news come, you know, when you hear those kind of negative news, you know what it does? It then wants to create a fear in you as well. You know, like, oh my goodness. If this has happened, if this could happen to this person or whatever, you know. And before you know it, the spirit of fear wants to take residence in your life. And it's only by staying in the word of God and knowing the word of God and hiding that word in our hearts that we can continue to walk in faith. Because the Bible talks about, you know, he that is standing should beware lest he fall. And you think, oh my goodness, all these things happening. Why are these things happening? You know, but we need to stay in the word of God. But I want to quickly show us this hearing. This hearing involves not just hearing. And I'm going to say five things that it involves very quickly. And we're going to pray and then we're going to finish. Five things. It says, I'll say the scripture again, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I want to say to you, the hearing is not just hearing, like hearing. There's a little bit more that goes with the hearing. Number one is hearing. Okay, you will understand what I'm saying, where I'm going in a few minutes. Number one, hearing. When I say hearing, I mean, for example, listening to messages. You're hearing tonight because you're listening to someone speak. You're listening to a speaker, preacher, preaching. So when you listen to messages, whether, you know, face-to-face like this, on audio, video, DVD, then we're talking about hearing. So that's kind of like the basic level, you know, Romans 10, 17. But you know what? When we just hear like this, when I saw this, I thought, oh my goodness. So it is actually, when preachers say, you know, take notes or buy the tapes, you know,
there's a reason why they say that. Because when we're hearing like this, educationists have found out that we only retain 6%. Ooh, when I read that, I thought, ooh, scary. So, you know, sometimes the preacher is, you know, spewing out the saliva for so long, but only 6% really is sinking. Okay? So hearing is very helpful, but you just cannot rely on that. So I'm saying to us that when the Bible says faith comes by hearing, it's not just the hearing as you are hearing now, because you can only retain 6%. Okay? Second one, hearing involves reading. It involves reading. Reading God's word every day. Do you not know that in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 19, you know, we are told that when God was saying that when the people of Israel entered into their into the promised land, and when kings were chosen, those kings were required, any king who was going to lead God's people was required to read God's word every day. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the fact that as believers, we are referred to as kings and priests. So we are required to read God's word every day, constantly. Constantly. But guess how much we retain? With this, we are even just scratching the surface. When we read, so when you sit down, and you read, and you actually open the, you know, so there's actually a benefit of opening the Bible yourself. Even sometimes when the preacher is preaching, opening it, reading it yourself, you only retain 20 to 25%. So when you just sit down during your devotional time, and you're going through the Bible, you're just reading it, 20 to 25% of what you've read is what you retain. But then you want to go deeper, because you really want to hear. Because you want faith in your life. The next thing is studying. So you move from just hearing to reading to studying. So studying has to do with, it says here, to work at what we read with the purpose of understanding, retaining, and utilizing the information. That is what it means to study. I'll say it again. To work at what we read, to work at it with the purpose of understanding it. So you're reading it, but you're doing it with the purpose of understanding it, you know, with the purpose of retaining it, with the purpose of utilizing the information. I'll give you a secret, you know, for people. I've been caught up in that kind of thing as well, whereby you're reading your Bible through the year. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're doing one of which I am doing actually at the moment. You're reading the Bible through the year, so you're using one of this, and you know, it's like, I must read all these 5-6 chapters today, you know, and you just, it's like, you're just rushing the thing through, you know. You're not studying, you're just reading, because it's like, okay, at least by the time today ends, I would have done my 5 Psalms and my 1 Proverbs, you know, and I would have completed my quota for today. Yes, that is good, but having said that, you must have time for studying as well. Because it's when you study, you are reading with the purpose of understanding, retaining, and utilizing information. And even then, you only retain 50%. 2 Timothy 2:15. We are commanded in that scripture to study to show ourselves approved of God. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. So it means it's only when you study, when you hear, when you read, you really can't, you know, divide the word of truth accurately. But when you study, then you can really divide the word of God accurately. So we want to deal with fear. Remember, I'm taking this all back to dealing with fear. We want to deal with fear. We need to hear the word of God, because that's how faith comes. But that hearing is more than just hearing. Number four, memorizing. Memorizing is to store God's word in your mind for future use. You store it in your mind for future use. You know, I don't know about you, but for a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of people still do it now, you know, they do, I don't know if it's the correct English to say, when you read and you cram, is that correct? You know, and we used to do that in secondary school. You just cram everything into your head so that, you know, when you go to the exam hall, everything will come pouring out. You know, and there's a benefit to it. There is a benefit to it. Even though some you say, oh, you know, after a while you forget it all. Some still stays there. Some remains there. Okay, so to memorize is to store God's word in your mind for future use. You begin to store God's word in your heart. When you begin to store God's word in your heart, then you will begin to think God's thought and see things through God's eyes. Because when God's word is in your mind, is in your heart, then you're going to begin to think God's thought. You're going to begin to see things through God's eyes. Okay, so that's why Psalm 119 verse 11 is a powerful scripture about memorizing, hiding. When it talks about hiding the word of God in our hearts, it's about memorizing the word of God so that in future you can use it. And finally, meditating. Sorry, actually going back to memorizing. When you memorize the word of God, doing this changes your life unconsciously. It actually changes you unconsciously. You don't even realize it's happening, but you're being changed from glory to glory because you memorize. So let's not just think that the memorizing is just for our children when we say, okay, memorize the memory verse. We need to go back to memorizing, even as adults. And finally, meditating. This is the highest level. So remember, we've come from hearing to reading to studying to memorizing, and then meditating.
What sentence did you retain
in the memorizing? That one didn't have any verse in it. But, you know, when you start memorizing, then I'm sure you're coming into the 75%, you know, bit. Because the previous one was 50%. But when you meditate, to meditate is to digest God's word. To digest God's word. It is to move the word of God from your head to your heart. You move, it's no longer just here. It's now in your heart. You know what is in our heart is what carries us through, because that's the place where we believe. That's the place where faith happens. When it's here, it's just I know it. Okay, I know it in my head, but I truly don't believe it. This is the place of belief, the heart. So it's to move the word of God from your head into your heart, making it a permanent part of your life. Joshua 1 verse 8, Joshua was commanded to meditate upon this word day and night, to be careful, so that he will be careful to do what it says. You see, when you meditate, it becomes part of your life, and therefore, you will walk in it. Meditation is paying attention to God's word with the intention of putting it into practice. It means taking time out to think about a particular verse or passage, asking questions. Amen? So it's a bit more than the other four that I have mentioned. This is a crucial part. All these things that I've mentioned are a crucial part of what we have to do to build up our faith in God and quench fear in our lives. And I really truly believe that even if it's this, you know, if we really begin to hear like God wants us to hear, faith will be implanted into our hearts, and fear will not have such a stronghold over our lives. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.